Hey guys, okay, I'm doing an intro right now for SmartList, and I just got back from the market. I just bought a bunch of tapioca. I got nothing except a brand new, fresh, out-of-the-oven episode of SmartList for you guys, and a couple of morons to help me with it. Stay tuned. Here it comes. SmartList.
Smart.
Hey, how was the golf vacation?
How was your golf trip?
It was good. It was really, really good. You really missed one there, Arnett.
That's okay. That was working. Yeah. I was working.
You were busy providing.
Oh, I thought you guys went together.
I couldn't go. I had to work.
I tried. I tried.
I was with your wife last night, Jason.
Sorry?
I hung out with your wife last night.
There we
and
go.
And your daughter, who I love.
Yeah, she's pretty great. Yeah. So that was a 10-year-old. That's Maple. The 15-year-old Franny had her sweet 16 this weekend.
I know. I love that.
No kidding.
She did. And it was.
And is the boyfriend back?
Were you back for it?
I came back just in time to drive to where she was having it to kick them all out and lock up.
Huh.
And it was. It was great. I was ready to see things that I wasn't ready to see, and I didn't see anything that I was worried about. It was there was like bowls of chips and Oreo cookies laid out on trays.
Okay, you weren't like sweeping up vape cartridges.
Exactly. Right. At least I didn't find any.
Right. Okay. But like just sweeping up Oreo cookies and stuff, and where was the party? Was it at Sean's house?
There were a lot of Cheetos and cookies and pizzas.
It sounds like my 51st
birthday.
Sean, what was the last big party you threw, Sean? For yourself?
For myself or just in general?
For yourself.
I don't know. Years and years and years ago.
Why don't you treat yourself?
Didn't you guys come to that? Remember that poker party that I had?
I don't.
I did. Oh, my God. Sean, that was 2004.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
I know.
It was
that's
the fall of 2004 in your backyard. I was there.
How can you remember the year?
You know, we used to play a lot of poker, Will. Why don't we start playing poker again?
We talked about it. We've been threatening. I guess we could do it over here at my house.
Why don't we just do it? It'd be fun. Hey, I texted Will yesterday if I could wear these shoes with the suit pants.
Are you wearing them on the flight, too?
Yeah.
Wait. What do you mean flight? What do you mean suit pants? Oh, right. You're taking off today.
He's going to an event.
Yeah. For
why are you wearing suit
hours.
Pants? And who says suit pants? Aren't they called slacks?
Who says slacks?
Who says great. Fucking suit pants, bro?
Here we go, guys. Here we are. Suit pants versus slacks. We'll be right
who
back.
Who says slacks?
Let's go back to the socks. Get back up and let's question the socks.
Yeah.
Aren't there like little faces on that? Yeah. What are you doing? What is that?
No, they're just checkers.
Are they fun?
They're houndstooth.
Do you like people who are like, I'm going to wear fun socks today? And I hope that people notice my fun socks and like go, oh, man, you must have a real sense of humor because I just noticed your socks. It really shows that you've got a real sense of humor.
No,
you've got a lot of character. Wow, you've got a lot of character. Look
where
at your
are you
socks.
Going, Sean?
I'm going to an event tonight, an award ceremony in Chicago for theater.
Uh-huh.
And is the event's tonight, Sean?
The event's tonight, yeah.
Wait, what time do you land?
Are you nominated or are you presenting?
I'm nominated in Goodnight Oscar. The show is nominated and Emily Bergel, who plays my wife, is nominated and the writer is nominated, Doug Wright, and Lisa Peterson, who directed, is nominated.
Amazing.
Are you not nominated?
And no, I am nominated as well.
Thank God.
Such an honor.
Are you also presenting?
No. Mm-mm.
What time do you get in? You're leaving late.
I literally land and have to go straight there.
Okay, well, this feels like poor planning.
Do you have an acceptance speech written?
I mean, just in case I have ideas of just who you want to thank.
Sean showed me a copy of his acceptance speech, and he had actually crossed out Scotty. He'd had him in, and then he crossed it out.
Oh, did you guys get in a fight last night?
Yeah, a little bit.
No.
Wait, I want to go back to the socks for 2 seconds.
Let's not talk about the Scotty fight.
No, I want to talk about this.
Did you hurl an Oreo at him?
No. I think the socks thing is because we don't, as guys, don't get a lot of... And as far as fashion goes, a lot of room to play with. Like, it's always just a suit.
Opportunities for hijinks,
you know what I mean?
With clothes.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it's always just a hoodie. But
I do have another hoodie on.
Yeah, I do like to accessorize a little bit every once in a while. I don't have the moves that Will does. Because you're not afraid of a scarf or something like that, are you, Will?
Or a cravat? No.
What's a cravat?
Yeah, what is a cravat?
Ascot, I guess. I don't know. You know, I get... I
see the way he was so, like, trying to have patience with us Philistines that don't
Well, what can I do? I mean, you know, I get roasted for it if I just, you know, just for my common parlance.
That's why I texted you, because out of the three of us, you probably dressed the best.
You really do.
Thank you very much. Thank you,
you
for
really
saying
do.
That.
Yeah.
I really take that as a compliment. And I did say to you, yes, I mean, I think that those shoes are okay.
Yes.
I said, give me the context where it is. And he said, it's this thing. It's not a big deal. And it's in Chicago. And I said, then it's fine.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
All you heard was Chicago, and it's good then.
Yeah, well, it's in Chicago. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine in Chicago.
So they're tennis shoes, though.
I'm just kidding. To all my friends in Chicago, it should be noted, love Chicago. We had a great time in Chicago. The three of us did.
We did.
And we love it. Love
but
it,
Shawnee,
love
those it. Are those are tennis shoes you're wearing with a suit? Or
yeah,
am I looking at the full outfit right now? Is the hoodie part of the
no,
suit
no,
pants
the hoodie's just for the airplane. But what is your opinion, Jason, about like gym shoes with a suit as opposed to like dress shoes?
Gym those aren't shoes. Gym shoes. Let's gym, be clear.
Hang
those
on.
Are,
yeah, stop saying gym shoes and suit pants.
They're like, you know.
They're
I wore them on the
Will,
tour.
Don't you call those, what do you call it? You give like rich guys a prop. Sorry, oh. We'll be right with you, guest. Right.
Those are like adult contemporary. I call those adult contemporary shoes.
I'm a
like,
rich guy with a yacht.
Yeah, I'm a finance guy, and I'm trying to be cool. And so my wife got me some Tom Ford sneakers. Mm-hmm. And but I'm wait, like, hey, no, look, I'm hip. Those. I don't have time to think about it. I'm worried about numbers all the time. And then I'm wearing jeans, and I'm wearing these kind of sneakers kind of thing. And it's like, yeah. Hey, listen, I'm wearing this suit jacket, but then I'm jeans under the desk, and I've got these fucking cool sneaks. Like, okay, just fucking do it or don't.
All right, let's get back to...
God, why am I so mad about it? Jason, business. You know, Jason gets it. You know I'm not mad. I just get worked up.
I know you're not mad. I know you're about to get real pleased. Today we have a guest that is all things. She's an actor. She's a producer. She's a mom, a model, an Academy Award winner, a United Nations Messenger of Peace, and a friend of ours.
Peace.
She's been in 50 films, but is younger than all of us. Let's find out how she gets it all done today on SmartList, shall we, gang? Please welcome the one and only Charlize Theron.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh. Hi, Charlize.
Yay.
Good morning.
Hi,
Charlize.
She's got a cute haircut and a cute sweater on.
She's got a really cute haircut today.
I do. It's a grow out. I don't think it's a haircut. It's more
it's
a
grow out.
Yeah.
I like that.
What's a grow out?
And it's dark, listener. It looks real good dark.
Yeah, it's super dark. Cute.
Have I ever seen you dark?
I think so.
Or brunette. What do we call it?
Whatever you want. I mean, I'm not that picky about it.
It's called cute as hell. Look at that. It's called.
She just put it right back into your court, JB.
Yes, she did. She's got a sweater on that I think I wore in 84. She wears it real well. Let's
thank
bring
you.
Those back.
Yes.
What about socks? Charlize, are you a socks?
Let me see. Here she goes.
Oh,
no socks.
Yeah. Nothing.
No socks.
Look
no
at
socks,
that.
No shoes.
But you got a couple tats on there.
No socks.
Yeah.
Sean. Quick eye there, you noticed, huh?
Yeah.
I'm fast.
How many tattoos do we have today? I have two, I'm proud to say.
You have a tramp stamp? That's amazing.
It's right on the small of my back. It just says breathe. Yeah.
What does it say?
Breathe.
Breathe.
So it's working.
So it's like a PSA for whoever you're with.
Sean, Will, any tattoos from you two?
I just killed Sean.
That's hysterical.
Sure. Sean's laughing because it's an idea.
I have no tattoos.
Right.
No tattoos from Will, Sean?
No, I've always wanted to get one. When I was young, I wanted to get one on my bicep. My what? My bicep.
Wow. And then what happened? It went away, so you had no place to put it. I wanted to get Wendell Clark.
I would be one of those when you're waving, it speaks. It's like
I know. That's what's happening to me now at 53. I don't like to show my tattoos because both are on it's my girl's names on the inside of my arm there. I don't notice how I don't say bicep. And then when I show it to somebody, when they ask, and then that little bottom part of the arm just starts to wave at them, it's not good.
I have my girl's middle names on my arm too.
Do you?
Oh, that's cute.
In charcoal gray right here.
On your forearm.
On my forearm, yes.
Okay, so let me ask you, actors with tattoos, do you have to go through makeup when you're doing a movie to get, like, is it a pain in the ass?
Yeah, you got to get it covered up.
I did for the first year of Ozark, and then I said, enough. Let's just say my guy's got tattoos. Who cares?
What about you, Charlize?
I did this in charcoal gray, so it doesn't really photograph. It's super light. And so it doesn't, you don't pick it up. And I have found as a producer that when they're light like this, it's easy to take them out in the DI. You don't have mm-hmm. to yeah. put a ton of makeup. It's almost easier to just leave it alone if it's a light tattoo.
Right.
But there's also that thing that I think it started with Mike Tyson in Hangover 3, right? Where you have to get the approval or the sign off of the person who does the tattoo. Otherwise,
of the artist.
They can sue the artist. Yeah. Or they can sue you later for like showing a painting that you haven't bought the license for or something like that.
Yeah,
really?
This world we're living in.
It's like playing
in.
A song. You got to pay for it.
It's kind of absurd.
Remember when shit was free?
Yeah. Right.
Just remember when people didn't stress about shit that was stupid?
Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that we were all drinking at the same time.
Sorry, gang. All right.
It's nice to see you guys, by the way. It's been
you
a while.
Too.
It's been a long time, yeah.
It's so been many, long. Many years.
Many years.
I saw you.
Remember when she was on Arrested Development, Sean?
What was your favorite scene?
Sean, remember when she was on Arrested Development? What was your favorite scene?
Oh, my
scene
God.
She did?
It's one of my favorite episodes. When she came in
he's never seen Arrested, Charlize. It's a point of contention. She played a character named Rita.
Rita.
Who was... Was she, Charlize, were you, I bet you don't even remember either. I don't, you were a spy? Or we thought you were a spy.
Thought I was a spy, yes. Because I had a very interesting British accent. I sounded very smart.
Did you have a, growing up in South Africa, did you have an accent as a kid and got rid of it? Or what happened?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I didn't speak English really until I was like 19.
Really?
Spoke Afrikaans?
I grew up in an area. Yes. I grew up in an area
that's
where.
Right. That's right.
That's fucking terrible.
Wait.
Come on, Bru.
Oi, jere, Bru. Ons moet aan het werk.
I know. It's terrible. It's a very difficult accent to do, South African. Very, very difficult.
Anyway, yeah, I didn't speak it. So I had it. As a second language, but nobody in my neighborhood spoke English. But I went to ballet, and it was the Royal Academy of London, and so we had these teachers from London, and they couldn't speak up. So that was the only English I ever really heard was these two Brits yelling
crazy.
At us. And I would do exams, not even knowing I was doing exams, because I didn't understand what they were saying. So when I came here at 19, it was really kind of like learning the language. And that's why it was easy for me to drop the accent, because I was really learning English from scratch. I think English-speaking South Africans have a harder time because it's an ingrained accent that they're trying to break. I didn't have that.
So Afrikaans is a completely different language. It's not a severity of accent.
This is new information for you. Wow.
And it is a combination.
There's about 44 people still speaking it. It's definitely a dying language. It's not a very helpful language.
Do we know what it is a combination of?
We do.
Yeah, Dutch. I mean, so we had pretty much all of Europe try to come in and take over. So, but the Dutch language is predominantly what it's based on. And then there's some German in there. And then we've bastardized it. So I understand Dutch. But when I speak Afrikaans, a Dutch person will be like very hoity-toity about it. And they'll be like, I don't know what you're saying. Because we've kind of bastardized it. We flattened it out a little bit.
They might even say that's a terrible, terrible accent, like you said to me.
Wait, I'm an idiot. Did you ever play a part where you had to do a South African accent?
I did, yeah.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a super famous movie and I'm a dum-dum.
No, it's not, actually. It's it was a film called The Last Face.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I could talk to you for 9 hours about Alien Prometheus right now, but because it's one of my favorite movies. I love it.
And Scotty. Scotty's creeping in the background for some
reason. It did look like the door was opening. No. Oh, it's the dog.
It's the dog.
If it was Scotty on all fours, just coming to listen.
All right. Well, okay. So then you said you came here at 19. Charlize, let's go back. So we're in South Africa. We decide to go to... Now, ballet was not first. Was it modeling in Milan?
Well, I started dancing when I was really young, and then I went to an art school for dance. And that's really what I wanted to do with my life. I fell in love with dance, and I mean, really what I fell in love with was storytelling, but I didn't know it then. Because technically I was never the strongest dancer, but when I was Swan Lake, I would fucking die on the stage. And so I always got work because I could
stop
perform.
Nodding, Sean.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I mean, he's eagerly nodding.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I wanted to do with my life until I kind of couldn't and had to kind of rethink my life. And my mom was the one that pointed out that it was maybe more the storytelling aspect of it that I loved than the dance. And so she was the one that kind of put it together that maybe I should go and try acting, which was like the most stupid, ignorant, like we knew nothing
really?
About how you would even go about to be an actor.
So how did you?
A one-way ticket to Hollywood.
Oh, really?
She literally bought me a one-way ticket
wow,
to Los Angeles.
No way.
And I got off the plane and I had nowhere to stay. I mean, I just had no plan. I stayed at the farmer's daughter because the cab dropped
me off there. On Fairfax.
Yeah, and now it's cute. Back then it was like a by the hour.
Yeah.
I bought a bottle of bleach right across from the Vons and started cleaning that bathroom. And I stayed there for like 6 months.
I stayed there for an hour once.
Hey-o. Now, did you take acting classes right away?
Not right away. I had a very strange experience where kind of like the Lana Turner, you know, soda fountain story where I was at a bank trying to cash a check from New York, which was an out-of-state check, and I couldn't cash it. And this guy was trying to help me cash it, and he ended up being a manager. Mm. And he signed me on, which is just weird because I could barely speak English, and that tells you everything
so
about
crazy.
How we find our actors these days. But anyway, he told me about an acting class, and I started going there like once what I could afford, which was like once a week at that time. And that was helpful because I knew nothing about acting. I knew nothing. I didn't even know who actors were. Like, I loved Tom Hanks movies without knowing his name was Tom Hanks.
Right. Well, God, there's so much in there.
How long was he your manager, this guy?
He was my manager for about 4 years.
Wow. And, you're so lucky you found the actual manager that says, hey, young lady, I'm a manager. Like, you found a real one.
To,
I mean, instead of like, my office is in my van.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody said that. They were like, this guy, this is what happens to everybody. Like, you're going to end up in a ditch. And then somebody actually knew him who was in my car. His card was in my car for like months. And they said, yeah, he represents John Hurt. And I was like, that's a real actor. Okay. So I called him.
Wow.
And we will be right back.
And now back to the show.
Now, when you started going to these acting classes and you didn't really know what acting was, you said, was your experience with it and it starting to become comfortable to you, did you have the sense like, oh, well, they just kind of have a name for all these things that I'm just kind of naturally doing anyway. In other words, did you find a very natural approach to acting or were you studying sort of like the technique and like going kind of dot to dot about how to act? Or did it just kind of come naturally to you because you're so good at it and you never really see you acting? It seems like it's very natural for you.
Oh, thanks, Jason. I think it was a natural ability. It's easy for me to escape. Like, I think I used it in my childhood. It was a way for me to survive. And it's where I've always found solace. And I think of it as this, you know, amazing opportunity that I get to go and do whatever it is at that time, material wise, that I just get to dive into completely. And I love that aspect of it. And that is easy for me. Yeah. But I didn't know how to break a script down, and I didn't even know how to read a script, and I didn't know about an arc necessarily, you know? So all of that stuff I had to learn, and that's what this class was really helpful for. Because they didn't just have actors, they had writers, they had directors. So I was around people, and I could see kind of, you know, it from a little bit higher in the ground, not so...
Did you have an early experience with an actor or a director on a job where you saw them with the actor maybe breaking down their script or a director sort of was anybody a real helpful influence for you like actually at work as opposed to on a or in a class?
Oh yeah, I mean I think yes, this class was helpful, but really, ultimately, I became a student as I was working. I mean, I think that's always the best way to work. And I look at all of my experiences early on. I found great mentorship with producers and directors and writers and actors who really you know, really just took me under my wing. I'm here because of the grace of a lot of those people and kindness of a lot of those people, because I was so eager. Yeah. And so, you know, I think they were entertained by me.
Did you have a moment with one of them, though, where there was that you remember now that you kind of go back to and go, that was a powerful moment, somebody that I worked with, director, writer, actor, early on?
Yeah, I mean, I worked with this writer-director, John Hertzfeldt. It was my first film that I ever did, and he was very kind. You know, he was very patient. I had to do a lot of stuff with James Spader, who's lovely, but, like, he's a pro, you know? Yeah. And he, like, shows up, and he's ready to rock and roll, and I think I was, you know, like, 19 at the time, and there were moments where John really kind of, like, helped me, I think, get through a shoot that could have been tough because I was so inexperienced, you know? So I'm grateful to him always. But then I got to work with Tom Hanks right after that, and he was just fucking lovely because with him, it was just all about the joy. He was just like, lean into the joy, the joy, the joy. And then I also had, like, you know, counter experiences. Like, I love Taylor Hackford. I did a film called Devil's Advocate with him, with Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves. And that was a really big movie for me. And he really encourages method. And so everybody just, you don't really have a choice. Like, that's just kind of like how he makes, I don't know now, but that was back then.
So explain for like, for Tracy, the non-entertainment people, what method is.
It's basically immersing yourself in the character and the world 24/7. And so you're never, ever out of it. You stay in it. Your director will call you by the character name. You just, you're kind of immersed in it the whole time.
And those people are super fun to hang out with.
Yeah. That's exactly it. So I realized on that film that that was definitely not a process that was going to work for me. There was something so exhausting about it. My life was miserable. I wasn't happy. And then, of course, you worry because you're like, well, if I don't do that, then maybe I won't be as good as the Marlon Brandos and the Monty Cliffs. And you read all these biographies.
Right.
And then I did some work, non-method, and I was actually really happy with the work. And I think
you could pop in and out. Yeah.
For me, having the energy to be able to go a lot further in darker material is way more helpful than being exhausted. When I'm exhausted, I'm just too tired. Like, I almost, like, don't want to, like, go into the dark room. But I think when I made it a real discipline. I think dance really helped me with this. I work. Yeah. And I leave it behind and I come home and I pick up my dog shit and I love my kids and I make pasta and drink a beer and, like, life is good.
Well, you're so goddamn funny. I wish you'd do more comedies. I'll bet they just don't come your way, right? I mean, is it just a question of, like, them not sending you a bunch of comedic stuff?
Are you talking to Sean?
Yeah. Charlize, we'll be with you in 1 second. Like, it's like, well, maybe you wouldn't mind being immersed in, I guess it depends on what sort of comedic character it would be, but going method on a comedy would not be as painful, I would suppose.
I think comedy is, you know, it's very much like a taste thing. Like, I think you love comedy because you find something funny, and I think that's where I struggle sometimes.
Yeah, there's certain kinds of funny.
Yeah, so, like, for me, the reason why, you know, I had just won the Academy Award for Monster, and the first job I did was working with you guys on Arrested Development because
makes sense
to me. I just thought this is such an opportunity to work with these geniuses that I, you know, might never get again.
I don't buy it.
And then they were geniuses weren't available, so you came and worked with us. But
you know, Mitch was amazing and kind of like approaching me and saying, like, "Do you find this funny? Like, let's." If you find this funny, we can figure something out. And that's kind of the comedy that I don't think I can do comedy that I don't myself find funny. Like, I loved working with the Point Grey guys and Seth Rogen on Long Shot. Like, that was a movie that I really loved. I would make that movie over and over and over again because it was just hands down one of the best experiences. Jonathan Levine kind of shepherded that thing. And everybody was just, I find them very funny.
How great is Seth, too? He's such
funny.
A good
dude.
Yeah,
hilarious.
I remember how our minds were blown that you were coming to do the show. Remember, Will? We were just like, wait, what? Yeah. Charlize Theron's coming here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was difficult.
I was so nervous. I'm going to tell you guys right now.
We were petrified.
I would say that's like my top five most nervous jobs I've ever done because people don't think of me as funny. So there's this version of like, oh, here comes the dramatic, that's going to like come and fuck our show up.
Yeah, you were just playing this great character. Yeah. You know, like it wasn't funny to her. You know, that was that brand of humor.
Yeah. And that's the humor that I like. But I do feel pressure. Not pressure, but you guys are so good. So I look at you guys and I go, when I watched you two, and that whole cast, I have to say, it's effortless. But I also know you guys had been on the show for a while and you get into a thing. It's like, there's nothing worse than being the new kid on the show. Like when you show up and it's like,
right, but hopefully you saw how quickly we were all morons and it was just this big, dumb family.
We were idiots.
No, I found you guys very impressive, actually. Very impressive.
I remember just being like, what? Just feeling so.
I have a question, though.
Like, you turned into George Michael.
I really did. I did.
But what's kind of mind-blowing to me, just hearing your story about coming here at 19 and not speaking English, it's kind of mind-blowing that you jumped into these films like with these huge successful people right away, where most actors' stories are like, I did this commercial and I tried to get a TV show, I couldn't do that. You know, your journey was so quick.
No,
and fast.
I did that. I just skipped over it. Oh, I did like Ross Dress for Less commercials.
Okay.
And by that I mean I was like an extra in the back, you know, like not featured. But trust me, I was an extra in Children of the Corn 3.
Oh, okay.
Here you go, be an actor.
Here you go. And no, what about like roommates? Did you have to find other actor room? Like what was the living situation growing up?
Yeah. I mean, I lived in a loft with two other girls right next to the Big Five down in San Vicente.
Oh, sure.
And yeah. I lived there for years. And it was a one bedroom loft. It was just a room and a bed, you know, coming out of the wall. And three of us lived there for years. The bathroom was literally right next to the kitchen. And I would look at that toilet from the kitchen sink and I just said to myself, let this be the motivation. Let this be the motivation. We need to live somewhere where your toilet is not next to the kitchen. That was a huge motivation.
Do you still talk to those
roommates? Didn't you and Scotty put a toilet in the kitchen just to get them? Just to cut down the commute.
You can only put so much sloppy Joe in your face before, you know, you just can't make it.
They did the math on how much time they waste going back and forth. They sat down, they had a meeting with their business manager.
Wow. The truth is so funny sometimes.
You're right.
Charlize is still trying to catch a breath. We'll wait. We could trim it all out.
I'm literally crying.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
By the way, I've made these guys sloppy joes a couple times now. Yeah, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. Well, I've heard about your Swedish fish and I listened to the show.
The plug that a Swedish fish and a piece of sloppy Joe can make. Charlize, the cushy shooting situation there at 20th Century Fox when we were doing Arrested is nothing compared to the grueling location of, say, a Mad Max, right? I mean, walk us through. Was it as tough as it looked out there doing Mad Max out in the middle of an Australian desert?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Or was there something really cush just behind camera?
No, we shot it in Namibia, actually. We were originally going to shoot it in Australia. And then
ask him where Namibia is. Just ask him what side of Africa it's on.
Do you know where Namibia is?
That's over there on the left side, if you're looking at it
on
from
the west coast. You're right.
North.
You're right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
It was a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, we'll see the way I confuse you with the left and the north. I was good.
It's a beautiful place, Jason.
Looks insane.
It's really beautiful. It's the only place where lions and whales meet. You'll see lions walk on the beach and eat, discarded whales or.
No way.
Yeah, it's a magical place. There's places called, you know, Skeleton Coast, and it's like, it's pretty magical.
I like that.
It has like dunes, like it's just like
sand dunes
hundreds
everywhere.
Of miles of dunes.
I mean, the desert is unbelievable, and we went there because there was a flood. There was like a rain monsoon that hit Australia right before, as we were in pre-production, and the whole red desert in Australia just ended up being wildflowers. So not very...
Huh. Wow. How long of a shoot was that? Like how many months?
Oh, I just want to listen to this. So we had 140 cars that were made in Australia, and they had to ship. They put them all on a boat and drove them on the water. What is
oh
that?
Oh, my God.
Sailed?
Sure. Sailed them on the water all the way to Namibia. Anyway, wow. What were you asking, Sean?
I was just saying how long, the reason why I don't know how long it is. Like,
it was long.
You have to gear up mentally to be out of your house and your comfort zone because, like, when I hear about these, like, year-long shoots, I was like... It so uproots your life. Obviously, we're all doing what we love to do, but it's how do you cope with that, with the uprooting?
Go ahead, Jason, you got a thought.
I just started to think about what would the list look like in order of heartbreak of the things you would be missing, Sean, from home if you had to be shooting in Namibia. Like, what would be number one? You'd be like, gosh, I just don't know when I'd get my next.
Well, it's my bed. My bed is like, you know, for the sleep. Like, you want to sleep in your own bed and
your bed with your fan. And what do you like when you sleep? You need a fan running and what else?
I need a fan. I need a pillow between my legs. Oof. I need two, like a hard and a soft pillow on the thing. Like, you know, there's like a whole.
And a bowl full of Three Musketeer minis. With that's right.
Well, I got to wake up in the morning. That gets me going.
It's got to be within reach at any...
It can't be a king-size bed.
We're not going to get into Sean's rider right now. The point is...
But the point is, like, you
but
have
But it is
your
hard going away from... Yeah, yes. leaving town.
Yeah, it's
going
really
somewhere.
Hard. I had my first kid. She was literally, I think, 6 weeks old. And I got on a plane with her as a baby. I was a new mom. And I mean, I know Namibia a little bit because most of my family is from Namibia. Oh, Namibia used to be part of South Africa. And then in the 90s, it became independent. So Namibia was kind of familiar to me, but not that familiar. But I also... I mean, it was crazy.
And Jason, don't get me started because I know what has to be done for you to go away.
Yeah.
I would have passed.
I can back you on that. I've been a part of it. It's fucking pathetic.
Oh, wait, so no. Jason, Jason can't even move to the valley.
No.
Who are you fucking kidding?
Trust me, we had to shoot in the valley a couple of times and it was rough. It was rough for him.
Nuh-uh. That is a word.
But it was definitely long and it was the same scenery every single day. It wasn't as long as... It went way longer than we thought.
So do you have to like mentally prepare? Like, okay, I'm going to be gone for this long. I need to... This is how it has to go. What's in my room? And like, you know, just so you can make it home because it's going to be your home.
I don't need a lot. I just like, I think for me, it was important just to know that I was safe because safety is a bit of an issue there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had a new baby and that became the biggest issue. You know, it was just me and Jackson in the house and I got broken in like, you know, 3 a.m, like 5 times.
That was really
scary.
Over
what
there.
Mean?
Yeah.
Broken into while you're sleeping.
Yeah. You can hear like,
where were you staying in like a tent?
No, I was staying at this really nice house. Like they have all these beautiful coastal homes, like right on the water and they're gorgeous. I mean, it puts Malibu to shame, but unfortunately, you're bringing in a big production, there's money, and you were dealing with people who are living way below poverty. And so it's a recipe for disaster. So that part of it was my biggest concern.
And the people that you would ostensibly hire for security would be...
They were kind of part of it.
Local.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were kind of part of the problem. Yeah, I ended up feeling really safe because if you know the movie, The War Boys, the majority of the War Boys were actually real military, Australian military that George brought out. And so they...
Not to be confused with Hot Cops, Will.
Got it. Sorry.
But I would text them when I would hear something. I would text them and literally like three minutes later, I would see their flashlights coming in. And I just kind of relied on them and they kept me safe the whole movie.
Right. Oh, wow. My God. And then you wake up.
I mean, that was a very physically like grueling part for you as well. Like that,
and hot and dusty. Yeah. Right?
It was actually cold. Really cold.
Really?
It looks hot. Yeah, it was freezing. We had a lot of cases of hypothermia, especially the young girls who only wear like bandages. Like lot of them got hypothermia. Uh-huh. I was freezing just because when you don't have hair on your head, you forget. Yeah. Like it's like a heat releaser. So it was really cold, actually.
Now, I'd rather freeze than sweat. So that sounds good to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you have been happier if it was 110?
I like it when I have to do like action. I like colder better.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. For sure. Right. It's harder for me to have a ton of energy to like do fight scenes when it's like, I just did this movie in Rome and it was one of the hottest summers. It was 115 degrees every single day. I had to do these fight scenes out in like these Roman streets, and it was just like you couldn't keep fluid in your body.
And were you wearing clothes and playing a character where you weren't supposed to be sweating? Like that's when the heat is dragged.
Yeah, I mean, I after a while, I'm just like, that's like the last thing I'm fucking thinking about. Let the sweat show. Yeah, I'm like, that's like the last of my. I'm like, can I just be able to walk? Like your feet start cramping because you just have no fluid in your body. And so yeah, I definitely prefer
you're
a little colder.
So many action films. I mean, are you?
Yeah,
you must have been injured beyond any ability to recuperate and keep schedules going forward. I mean, are there any stories of you just saying, all right, that's it. We're down for a couple of weeks.
No.
With an injury, no?
I don't know if it's stupidity or if it's just I have a high tolerance for pain. But I on the first Old Guard, I tore the tendon off this bone on my thumb. It got stuck in a guy's and it just he moved and he ripped my whole thumb backwards.
Oh my God.
And I mean, it was really painful. And I just kind of, you know, when you have an injury, you just kind of don't use it so much. And so I just didn't use it so much, but I had to do like 3 weeks of a big action sequence on a horse where I was riding with that hand and fighting with the right. And so I was just in denial, and then I came back and had surgery. It was just floating. There was like nothing holding it.
I just finished the second
one now. I just came back like 10 days ago, and I just had shoulder surgery 2 days ago.
No way.
Charlize, you're not old, but you're not 15.
No, I'm not. But, you know, I recover really fast, and my body is in great shape. These are all just like superficial injuries. Like my shoulder is actually great. My knees are great.
How's your stunt double doing?
Huh?
How's your stunt double doing?
Yeah.
I mean, I bet you have the same one for years.
She does like, you know, I'm not going to do stupid hard falls down a staircase or like, you know, falling from a second. I don't do stuff like that.
But she is. Is she still okay?
Yeah, she's fucking 24. I mean, nothing hurts a 24.
What about Liam Neeson's stunt double? He must be all banged up.
My God.
That poor bastard.
It's fun to do this stuff. I like it. I really love it.
You need a nice sitcom.
No, I don't know. I don't. I think I'm not quite ready. I think like maybe in another 10 years.
Yeah.
There's something so fucking invigorating about hanging off the side of a helicopter. It's amazing.
But what about, didn't you kind of got injured when you put on all that weight for Sully, right?
I had more injuries on that movie. Yes. Just from gaining weight. I herniated a disc in my lower back.
How'd that happen?
Well, I gained like 50 pounds, and then I had to wear a pregnancy belly that Jason Reitman, the director, thought would be a good idea to make the actual size, the weight of an actual. So it weighed like another 40 pounds, and then he put me in a fitting, and I had to put shoes on over and over. And just, you know, from bending and putting on shoes, I herniated a disc in my lower back. And that's been the worst injury I've ever had.
Wow. We'll be right back.
All right, back to the show.
Can I tell you something? This is a true story.
Okay.
First of all,
we're going to listen harder.
Thanks
then.
For stop lying.
Go ahead, John.
This is a true story. I was sitting there watching because you have this unbelievable ability to, like we spoke about earlier, to lose yourself into every character you play. It's very rare that, you know, there's Philip Seymour Hoffman who was just like transformative. There's you who's always transformative. It's just an incredible feat. So I'm sitting there with Scotty, my husband, watching Bombshell. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. And like half hour, 40 minutes in, I'm like, I thought, where the fuck is Charlize Theron? I thought she was in this movie. And he's like,
God, you're
stupid. What, you idiot? That's her. And I'm like, as Megyn Kelly, I was blown away. I mean, you look like her. You sounded like her. What's so funny, you guys? I think it's like amazing.
I don't, fuck them. I'm enjoying this moment, Sean. Yes. I'm just looking at your screen right now. It's just me and you.
And that's all I wanted to say. I don't have a question. I was just like, I really, truly was like, I thought Charlize was in this movie.
And he's like, that's nice.
That's her.
It is pretty impressive.
I mean, it was mind-blowing.
What about this new thing, the School for Good and Evil? What are you doing in that, and why do you want to do it? What about it? Was it Paul Feig? Because he's a good dude.
Yeah, he did a couple of episodes of our Arrested Development.
Yeah,
he's such an amazing guy. I also just, you know, I have two young kids now, 7 and 10, and they're going to have to be like at least, you know, 52 to see any of my work. Right. So there is a level of wanting to make stuff for them because they love this world, this kind of fantasy world. And it was also, it was like towards the end of our lockdown and I was going stir crazy. I was homeschooling the two of them and I obviously couldn't take a job because I didn't want to move them. You know, it just wasn't the right time to move a whole family somewhere. So it was a 2-week job up in Belfast and they got me back in 14 days and my mom took the kids. And so that was nice too. But yeah, mostly I did it for them. I want, you know, there's something, I don't know, there's something about, you know, kids that no matter who you are, you want to impress them. Like, they're not impressed by Megyn Kelly. Like, they're not impressed.
And it's also proof of, like, well, this is, you know, mom is busy, but I swear I'm busy doing stuff. I swear. Like, here's something you can see. It's proof.
Yeah. Well, they see the posters when we drive to the bus. They never see the movies, right? But they always see the posters and they spend time on set and things like that. So they think they know what the movie is. And it's really funny when they're like, they see the poster and they just go, well, I don't know if that is the movie that I saw you make.
How do you manage to do all of this work and still be such a great mom? Because I know you put an incredible time and focus to being an incredible mother. And I know that you've got incredible help from your mother, who's an incredible woman. But as I said in the intro, 50 films. Like, it takes a few months to do a movie, especially when you're the lead, like you always are. Like, the math doesn't even work out. I don't know how you've gotten all that done and still been, you know.
Well, I've been producing for, you know, close to 2 decades now. And I think that's really helped, just taking some agency and making my own schedule. And so I really don't make anything like, I don't make any big movies unless I, you know, I push it into the summer where I can take my whole family. Like, we all went to Rome for 4 months. And, but, you know, I get my kids back for school. But you're right, I can't do it without my mom. Yeah. And I'm always very vocal in acknowledging that I am co-parenting with her. And so that's kind of unusual for people to hear, but that is the truth. She really is very much a co-parent.
I love that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm so lucky.
How much, because your mom's been there obviously the whole time and you are so close to her. How much do you talk to her about what choices you make as a, you know, sort of artistically as a producer or as an actor? Do you have a relationship like that at all? Do you go like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. What do you think? Do you sound stuff off of her in that way too or no?
So when I started, she was definitely way more opinionated. I mean, she definitely, she's very direct. Jason, you've met her. She's very funny. She's very direct. She's broad. She's very... very brassy and loud, and she loves to swear, and she's just very honest. So in the beginning, when I started, there was a lot of like wanting her approval, but she would go and see some of my movies and just be like, "That's a piece of shit."
Before you even out of the theater.
Yeah, and I was like, "You should come out," and you could just tell on her face. She was like, "That is not good." But I appreciate it so much from her. It's kind of our relationship. I remember as a dancer too, when I was little, like I would have a competition or something. She was never the parent that would sugarcoat it. Mm-hmm. She wasn't like abusive about it, but she was very honest. I knew that when she said something was good, I was like, fuck, that was really good.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like I really believed that more than the negative stuff.
It becomes like a real barometer for you.
Exactly. I can really trust her. So it's not so much, I mean, I tell her obviously because she's part of it. I have to like clear her tennis and golf schedule out here so that she can like, you know, pack up and move with me. But she likes a lot of stuff. I mean, she loves like the long shots. She likes those kind of movies way more.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. But she loved this movie, this fantasy movie, this the School for Good and Evil. She really loved it.
I can't wait to see it.
She's a big golfer.
She's a big golfer. We need
Let's
to
double back to that.
She's a big golfer and a really big tennis player. She's super athletic. She's going to be 70 next year, but she plays with 30-year-olds. I mean, she's ridiculous. She hikes every morning at 5 a.m., 3 miles every morning with 6 dogs. She takes my dogs and her dogs.
Wow.
Then she goes and she walks 18 holes, and then she plays tennis.
No golf, no tennis for you?
I only play golf with her, and usually just on Mother's Day, but I love tennis. But tennis is like a later sport that I just learned because I had to find something for cardio because I couldn't really run anymore.
Sure.
And so I found tennis, and I was like, this is great cardio, and I enjoy it.
Tennis is great.
What about the pickleball?
We play a lot of golf. Jason and I play a lot of golf.
No, not pickleball. No, I mean, isn't that like what old people play?
Yes, I think so. But it's sweeping the nation just because it's easy.
It's really sweeping.
Americans really love to fucking glom
onto. Do you guys play pickleball?
I have played. Sean's got a pickleball court and a toilet right in the middle of the court.
I'm up for pickleball. I would love to learn.
I've played pickleball before. It ruins your tennis game. I don't advise it if you like tennis because it engages the wrist too much.
I like ping pong,
I used to play paddle a lot.
Anybody like ping pong?
Oh, I love ping pong. I have a ping pong table in my backyard.
Are you trying to like just bring up stuff that you don't have to move at all?
Yeah, like, just my upper body.
Xbox. What about that? I play
TV.
That.
I like watching TV.
Now you seem like such a brave person. What scares the hell out of you? What are you most afraid of? What's like
That's
your kryptonite?
A great question. Seem like a very brave person.
Yeah.
Oh,
like a but an earned bravery, though. Yeah. You know, it's not fame.
I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit there.
Yeah. Spit it out.
I mean, moving when you're 19, you can't speak English, you're making that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of that when I think back and now that I have kids, I'm like, that was just. I feel like, if I didn't come out of the circumstances that I did, no, my mom would have never done anything like that. And I don't think I would have done anything like that. But I came out of very complicated circumstances. You know, I didn't really, there wasn't a lot of choice. It was like swim or drown. Like, what are you going to do? Stay?
Yeah, you're tough though. You seem you're very tough. Like you have this, you can kind of see it. You have this kind of resolve, this inner resolve that come, for me anyway, I've felt like it's always shone through. And you seem, I'm like, oh yeah, she's on top of her shit. She's very tough.
But like,
don't talk to her.
Well, yeah. Well, what about like bees? Because, like, bees will turn me into somebody I don't want to be seen.
I think I've seen you, like, scream like a girl around a bee. I think I have, yeah.
And I'll just run. I'll just disappear, like, with, like, a rocket flare, like a cartoon character. Just,
I'll tell you, I saw a cockroach yesterday, and I did not handle it well.
Yeah, I'm not good with those guys.
I did
either.
Not handle it well. I really could not. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't want to kill it, but I also didn't want it to live. I was very, really torn. And then I just... The idea of stepping on it, I couldn't. It was
What did you do then?
I made somebody else do it.
Yeah, you called somebody in, and did you instruct them not to kill it?
No, I was with a group of people. No, this one lady was really brave. She stepped on it. She took her shoe off and just did it. I was very grateful. Yes.
Is there anything within sort of what you the realm and the bigger scope of what you do? So again, as a sort of as an actor or a producer or a writer, director, whatever, is there anything that you can think of that you think that seems scary for me to do?
Would you dance or sing?
I mean, I would dance. I would love to dance. I don't know. I don't think I would sing. I'm a terrible singer.
Me too.
Yeah, and I'm very uncomfortable singing. Like, I break out in hives. that's why Jason Reitman always makes me sing in his movies, because he just loves torturing me. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I mean, I was really worried, scared. I was scared of doing Megyn Kelly. It's one of those things where you're, like, hoping for the best, and you try and do as much work as possible, but there's no guarantee, right?
Yeah.
And it's like you're like 4 or 5 weeks in and you still don't sound like her. And I did the first round of prosthetics and I looked like Glenn Close. Like, it was weird. Like, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna work out.
And so you kind of feel like you're out on a limb and you're
I was like, this can definitely go very wrong. I definitely felt that.
How about when in Prometheus, when you just lit some guy up on fire? That was like, you had like a fire machine and the guy was standing.
A flamethrower.
Was it a fire machine, Chuck?
Or whatever it's called.
Well, I didn't really do that, but.
You didn't?
You had a fire gun.
You had like a fire.
You know, that one did light up, minus like there was nobody in front of me, but it did light up. I think they did one where it kind of lights up a little bit. And that was pretty
badass. Oh, so that wasn't you just like blowing them to bits like that, lighting them on fire?
No, they added that later.
actually.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry, Charlize.
Holy fucking shit.
I love that movie so much.
You do? That's so sweet.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to FanFest, you know.
I love that you go between Megyn Kelly and that. That's
I've seen Prometheus like 10 times. I love it. And you know, it's wild.
That Fassbender is pretty amazing.
I did a deep dive on YouTube about it because the engineer, I don't know, you're never mind. These guys are going to fall asleep.
No, we want to hear it so bad.
I want to know what deep diving on YouTube
I don't know if this is true or not because Ridley Scott had, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that he had this original script that explained kind of the whole, they gave this engineer this dialogue that explained the whole movie, but he cut it, which was that in the Bible, when Jesus wasn't there for however many years, because, you know, the Bible cuts from when he was a kid to 30, that these engineers, these aliens came, picked him up, brought him to their planet, taught him how they should teach humanity, brought him back, and then that's what he tried to do, but they failed, and that's why these aliens want to come back and wipe it out, because it's gotten so bad.
And you heard this where? What?
Online, somewhere.
Wow.
On YouTube or something.
I can't verify that online. For you. That's really interesting.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And if it's not true, it's a good idea.
It's a great idea.
The world is round, too, Sean. It's round. I swear.
But anyway.
I think some listeners right now are touching themselves. Like, you know, people really appreciate that kind of knowledge.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing,
Sean. Oh, I thought you'd been touching themselves. Like, am I fucking here? Is this actually?
Did I just pass out?
What am I? Did I? Yeah.
I didn't know if you knew, if you heard that, if that was true.
No,
you know why? Because she doesn't spend her time on Reddit with you and Scotty going fucking putting in Prometheus fucking theories.
Chat rooms.
Scotty, we should get to bed. It's 4 a.m. Yeah, but look at this thread. Look at this fucking thread. Fucking fuck, man.
That stuff is fascinating to me.
I know, Angel.
All right.
Charlize, you're the greatest.
Yeah.
You're the best ever.
Yes.
You guys, I really love this show. Congratulations. I listen to it all the time when I'm stuck waiting to pick my kids up. It's a joy to listen to you guys. You're really funny.
Thank you.
Thanks for trying.
Yeah. And thank you for having me. I guess you ran out of people.
Yeah.
So every time I would listen to it, I thought, yeah.
How dare you?
We're on the
between
tees.
Jason and Will, between both of you, I couldn't.
It's Will,
make
but that's
Will. That's how we say it in Afrikaans. That's. I was like, wow. I'm like, you guys must have like really cleared your list. Even you, Sean. I know you too. Like, what the fuck happened?
Can I tell you something?
What
can
is
I tell you
season
right now?
17?
What? Yeah,
no, can I tell you something right now? You've been on my list since day one, and obviously, Jason, you were on Jason's list as well.
Yeah, and I was like,
that's
no, I get
sweet.
Her.
So Vil is the one that we
No. I villainized. Had a different list, and then it just, I don't know. I didn't have a pen. I didn't end up having a pen.
Well, thank you for having me, you guys.
Yes.
We love you. Right. Have a great rest of the
love
day.
Love you right back. You guys,
thank
too.
Thank you for doing this. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That was so funny.
I love that. What is that theory for Prometheus? Is that really what it was about?
Well, I mean, there's this one guy's thing. He said he had a copy of the script and like that the whole point of the aliens wanting to wipe out Earth is because we're not getting it right. We're making the Earth worse.
Why are you encouraging me to tell it again? He's just repeating what he already
I'm just fascinated
said.
That you just like go in and look for meanings. Like when you saw Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, did you do a deep dive for the meaning of that?
That's pretty much straightforward. That's just from the book.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? The original.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that movie too.
Great get.
Now, that was just great to have our buddy Charlize on.
How do you know her, Jason? I didn't know you knew her so well.
Just from Arrested.
In a movie. Oh, okay. Did you guys make a movie together?
Oh, that's right. And we also did... Wait, did I do Hancock before or after Arrested?
After.
Yeah, that was really, really fun. That was my first, maybe only, big budget movie. That was pretty impressive seeing that. Whole big
was a huge,
superhero engine.
Yeah, that was a huge movie that you did. And she came and did 5 episodes of Arrested Development, something like that.
The most Canadian pronunciation of 5.
I ran into her at the airport when she was nominated for Monster. She was making the rounds and I was doing press too, and there was this room. And
what were you doing press for, Sean?
Will and Grace or something. Yeah. And we had just done Oprah the same day. And I saw her at the airport, and I did this big dance for her. And she looked at me like
At the airport you did?
Yeah, just trying to make her laugh. And she was like, what's wrong with you? Oh. Like, she...
Did you have time to get into
didn't
it?
Didn't land.
Did you have time to get into what was wrong with you?
No, because no.
If you were late for a flight, you must not have had time to get to answer that.
Oh, right.
Like, what's wrong with you? Yeah. But remember, she did the show. We had remember we had Patty Jenkins the year before, who directed Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Directed she's great. Arrested. Yeah,
that she is was correct. Awesome.
Wait, Patty Jenkins directed Arrested Development, too?
Yeah, who went on to do the Wonder Woman films and et cetera.
How?
Yeah, who's amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's had great directors.
We sure did. The Russo...
What's the name of the show?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It's so...
Should we come over? Why don't we should come over. Well, we'll go over to Sean's house. And we'll watch some Arrested Development. And then
we'll
you come over to
like
one of our houses. We'll watch Will and Grace together.
Yeah, we'll watch Will and Grace.
That sounds like a fun...
We'll make a new podcast out of it.
Yeah.
You know, a little watch through.
And we'll sign a contract that we're all going to watch it. And that contract will be binding.
Binding. Bye. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Bye.
You guys, I was crying laughing so hard. Good God.
Smart. Less. Smart. Less.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarv, and Bennett Barbago.
Smart. Less.